Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm grateful to be with you on this 19th day of June 2021. And we're going to look at being erratic, you know. And it's going to have a lot to do with the way we live within ourselves mentally and emotionally. And that is something that is really, really interesting to me, how erratic we can be, how paradoxical we can be, wanting love, living in hate, wanting, you know, to be kind, but doing the unkind, the justified meanness, as I call it, that I see people do. So we're going to be looking at this erratic behavior that we all have, one way or the other, and what makes me turn from being Mr. Peace on Earth, goodwill towards men, and that of being an Adolf Hitler. I go to extremes, but not really. So all of this is something that we all have to deal with in our life, one way or the other. And of course, it's very difficult for people to recognize this thing that we do, this erratic behavior. We are highly emotional. Please understand, we live via emotionality. There is a ton of emotions that go on and on and on within us. These emotions dictate the way we're going not only behave, but the way we think and what we expect out of our life and what we want to have happen. And sometimes we find parts of ourselves that are very dark. And we didn't even know they were there. Our behavior can go from one thing to another very quickly. We see this in alcoholics and people who drink. They drink and then their minds get cluttered up and jumbled up with emotions and all of those things that they kept securely down, so to speak, subdued, often come out. And now the airlines are learning. You don't let people drink on the airlines. You just don't do that. And I agree with them. And I don't know if people can get through a flight or even get through a day without drinking. This has really become another pandemic, alcoholism. It has been a part of the problem of the COVID and what's going on with COVID. And now people who didn't, shall we say, discipline themselves or understand what the heck they were doing to themselves are now full on with alcoholism, according to statistics. So we'll see how that pans out. We're a naughty bunch of people, as it were. So let's go to the first question. This is question is from Adam. He does not tell me where he lives. He said, I thought this was such an insightful question. I want peace, he says, but I live in war. I live in war. Wanting peace, living in war. He doesn't explain more to me, but I think we've all done this one way or another. We say we're peace-loving people, but we find ourselves engaged with other people in not so healthy ways, and then before we know it, here's where we are engaging in all sorts of unkindness and not really seeing the bigger picture of our life. So let's take a look. Why is it? And this is great. Adam, thank you. I know people want to get along, but they find that their ego gets triggered very easy and their anger gets triggered very easy. And the things they suppressed, they will express. And they do that. They express these things and it gets worse and worse and worse. And before you know it, you don't know what triggers you. You don't know emotionally what is setting you off. Now, everybody has what I call their perimeter, okay? The things that they live by, which are the perimeters of their existence. And in this is the tolerance level of what you're going to take from another person or anyone. How far do you go, and what are you going to take? How much of this crap are you going to take before you stop and say no more? I have my self-respect, ego. I have, my standards, ego. It's all about my ego. So how far do I go in whatever I'm doing and say to someone, you've crossed that line and now there's war? That's really what this is all about. That's what we're talking about here. So what is that within me? How is it that I live like that? What is it that makes me surrender my peace for war? So I've got something very difficult to say to you, Adam. And you're going to have to forgive me, okay, for this. I am the type of teacher, and you need to understand this. I don't publicly say these things too much. Now, to my students, who I consider people who are more serious than the average person, I will say everything in order to help them. But, you know, when you're talking to the public, people are stupid and they don't understand. They're driven by the commonality of their conventional thinking and their pedestrian mentality. So you really can't say too much without being misunderstood. And I want to say that right off the bat, okay? Right off the bat. If you really want peace, you have to endure the insult and the, shall we say, humiliation of allowing people to have their assumptions without correcting them. That's the polite way of me saying it. So, in other words, if someone has a grievance with you that isn't true, and you know that straightening the road here isn't going to do any good. I mean, nobody likes you anyway, and nobody wants to admit that they're wrong about you and all of that. So whatever assumptions they have come to and that they bear against you is going to be there no matter what, no matter how you apologize or no matter how you set the record straight or they find themselves wrong. They're never wrong. To them, they're never wrong. So, even when they are wrong, they'll think they weren't, one way or another. I have found that the best way to deal with it is to let people think what they're going to think. I don't really care. If I know the truth of a given situation and I am being accused of something that I didn't do, why would I defend myself? Really, why? Because the person that you're going to tell the truth to isn't going to accept the truth or the facts of the truth, no matter what. No matter what. So, no matter what you say, they're going to look at you and go, that's not true, you're lying, that's not true, you're lying, you're making that, all that stuff, all that petty stuff. We don't really want peace. We don't really want to get along with one another. We don't really want loving kindness. What we want is righteousness, self-righteousness, and rightness itself. So we're not interested in anything else. We're not, as a group of people, as humanity. So, Adam, you have to not die by the sword, your own sword. You know, don't argue, don't fight, don't get involved. Just say, is that so? Is that so? Just let people think whatever they're going. They will reveal the kind of person they are. Now, some people may come to you and say, I want to know the truth. Please tell me. And that's a very unique situation and very wonderful. And if you can get that from another person, then you have something meaningful. But for the most part, generally speaking with people, you're not going to get that. Really, you're not. People like to assume the worst of everyone. They love to assume the worst. The worst is the best for them because it makes them feel better than. And it motivates them through their hatred to do many, many things that are unkind and eventually cave in on them. So you let people do what they're going to do and think what they're going to think. And really, you've got to let it go. I do that all the time. I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what you accuse me of. I don't care. I really don't. Because eventually it's going to fall into your life, and I don't want to be a part of your life. It is our job, Adam, to forgive them that despitefully use you or that accuse you of things you're not doing. You really have to look at it from that point of view. Let it be. Just let it be. It'll all work itself out the way it's going to work itself out. But if you and I fight and try to make things right and prove that we're right and they're wrong, we're going to miss everything that is substantially important, and we're going to miss our life. And not only that, but we're going to be shadow boxing because no matter what, the situation will never be resolved. Not ever. There's always that little dictate, that little prejudice in the background that's saying, well, you know, you said you didn't do it. And okay, proof is that maybe you didn't, but secretly, I think you did. It's just human beings are just, when we give ourselves over to our body, when we give ourselves over to our emotions and our mind, we become ruthless and we become unkind and we become dangerous. And then there's all sorts of ugly things that can happen and typically do. And if, Adam, let them have their own thoughts. Just let them have it and let that be what it is. And don't worry about it. Be true to your heart. If you know the truth, let it set you free. And don't be at war with others. It doesn't prove anything except your stupidity and being suckered into acting like they do, believing as they do, and no one ever accomplishes anything within by living in that manner. We love our war. We're a war-monging species, survival of the fittest. But if you're willing to drop that, there's a way to ascend. Let's put it that way. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a tough one. But I really like Adam's question. Fair, I'll never forget it, Adam. The next one comes from Patty. She does not tell me where she lives. Sometimes I'm at peace, sometimes I'm at war. What is the problem? And then she goes into some examples that aren't relative to our conversation here on radio and says to it, she admits that she gets more juice out of being at odds with people. You know, these emotions that we have in our body run our whole life. And if you're not careful, they will determine the measure of your entire life. And you will never, ever find meaning or substance or kindness or inner peace to your life at all. You can't let your emotions run your life. And they live in your body as body memory from many past lives, as well as things that happen to you in this world, in this worldly life. So there are people that come into this world just to fight, just to be obnoxious and to fight. They're contrary. And once they smell the blood of maybe another person's weakness, they'll go after it. Tooth, hook, and nail. They'll go after it because it's more important to them to bring discouragement and pain and sorrow to a person's life than that of bringing compassion, maybe even love, to another person's life. There's a quote that I love very much, that the wisest person is the one who carries their enemy on their back. we don't do this. We don't want to carry our enemy on our back. We like doing things that are very unkind to our enemy. This gives us the momentum and the feeling of a superiority. So it is hard for the low self-esteem person who's always seeking vengeance one way or another. And low self-esteem people do this all the time, all the time. It is hard for them to recognize the meaning and the significance of a lifetime spent in compassion and love. They have no, Patty, they have no care at all about really bringing peace on earth and goodwill towards men. They have no inclination for that. They have no interest in it at all. They want to be the victor, and they want to be the victim that gets the revenge and become the victor. And that's all they want. I've had many people try to hurt me in this way. You know, I just don't go there. I really don't. I don't talk against them. I don't talk for them. I don't do any of that. I just sit and watch. And, you know, when you look at the great teachers like the Buddha, who his brothers were always chasing him to kill him because he didn't become the king that he could have been to save his people. And we know the story of Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate. Do you say this of me or do other men? When Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? Which was the whole crux of the matter of his supposed trial. You've got to understand, in this world, you can't breathe without creating enemies. You have to understand that and be compassionate with that. That is the way of this world. That's the way things work in this world. The question for me and thee is, honestly, Patty, is, am I going to be somebody's enemy? Now, there are two ways to be someone's enemy. They can assume that you are their enemy and try to do all manner of evil against you, which may or may not in their minds or in your mind be worth the fight. I don't see it. Or you can make them an enemy within yourself and make you the enemy of them. And the deepest mistake we make is when I choose to be your enemy, when I choose to oppose you, when I choose to hurt you, for even maybe the sake of what is right. People will say, well, you know, defend yourself. Jesus did not defend himself. It was really interesting. He let the wheels turn the way the wheels turned. He didn't like it. You know, he talked about it in the Garden of Gethsemane. But you have to understand, he did not fight. That wasn't his way. It isn't the way. He left that for Pontius Pilate to have to deal with and all of the population that put him to death and let Barabbas go. And terrible things that human beings do. We're just not a very advanced people at all. So do you want to make an enemy? Do you need to make an enemy? Do you need to have yourself become the enemy? Enemy of your own heart, the enemy of being contrary to love. Is that what you need to do? Most people do. They like being their own enemy, and they like having enemies, and it gives them a way of looking at their life like they're doing the right thing, that they're better than. Again, when you're a low self-esteem person, you live for living to be the better person, the more right person, not the person of love, not the person of kindness, not the person of forgiveness, not the person of compassion. And that's the way we are, that's the way we live, and that's the way we do. I would suggest to you that you do not go into vengeance and the pride of your vengeance. That's what I would recommend. I would not allow myself to stoop so low as to get into a fight with someone else even if they're wrong and I am in, so to speak, the right position, to never even say a word about it. Why? Why? Why provoke them? Why provoke the situation? Just look at it and say, no, thank you. You have bigger fish to fry, which is yourself, and to live in that kind of way and that kind of compassion. Not a popular stance, but one that I've lived by all my life. And I don't, I find this, it is very difficult, Patty, to love someone and then have them turn on you or have them think you turned on them when you didn't and make a war out of it. It's very hard for me to forget that I love them and to try to do harm to them. I just don't do it. It is better to keep my mouth shut. So the old saying is true. If you haven't got anything good to say, don't say it at all. There you are, Patty. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is interesting. It's from a lady named Sherry. I don't know where she lives. And she asks, how do I not want bad for my enemies? Because, Sherry, you are the enemy. Until you realize that you are the enemy, that you are the one that makes this all happen, you're not going to understand the truth of your life and the basis of that truth in your life. I am my own enemy. No one is my enemy. Why would I make someone else my enemy because they didn't like me or they didn't agree with me or they didn't think whatever they think that I'm supposed to think? Why would I do that? Really, seriously, why would I do that? Well, I wouldn't. So you have to look at the whole situation with people for what it is. People need enemies. We like conflict. We must look inside ourselves, each of us, and find out where this conflict begins, how it works, and does it ever end? I have to see that. Does it? Will it? Can it? Probably not. I have to transcend it. I have to want love more than wanting what I think is love. I have to want kindness more than what I think kindness is and who deserves it. You don't do that. You let people be where they are as they are. You love them where you find them. And some of them, Sherry, are not easy to love. They're just not. They require all sorts of gimmicks and challenges, and they propose things that aren't true and da-da-da-da-da-da, all sorts of ugly things. But that doesn't mean I have to get ugly or you have to get ugly or anybody has to get ugly. All it means is I have to let love live me. And that should be the only thing that matters. Do I let love live me? Or do I interpret love, draw a line, and say, love would tell me to get even with this person? That's what people like. They like vengeance and the pride of that vengeance. So there, it's up to you. You have to listen to that still small voice within you and start seeing things for the way things are, not the way you and I might perceive them from the point of seeking refuge in hate and fear, which is what most people do. I gotta go. Thank you so much, Sherry, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I certainly hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.